about 20 years ago, give or take, my wife and I were just getting started. We had a little rug rat running around named Ryan. We took him to church one day. We tried to give him back. Then they explained to us that dedication wasn't about giving him back. It was about us consecrating ourselves to the Lord, to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we knew that. We did. We knew. Lynn and I forged a marriage, put it together, and started a home. We did it with the intention of honoring God. I sang a couple of weeks ago, close to our anniversary, a song I wrote for her at that time. It says, "Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And she did. And we are and have. And part of the fruit of that commitment and that covenant, our three children were very proud of. But we gave them to the Lord a long time ago because we knew they weren't ours. They're not ours. They're only for a little while ours to oversee, to nurture, to love, to reflect God, so that they might find him in this dark place down there. Pretty dark. Hard to find God down there. But if your kids are going to find God, they're going to find him in your faith. They're going to find him in your home because you made up your mind that was going to happen. Because the world is no friend of theirs. Deuteronomy 6 brings us to a passage that deals with how we're supposed to pass the faith along. It deals with the fact that we're supposed to live for God in season and out of season, day in, day out. It deals with the fact that God himself gave us the stewardship of passing this faith along as a gift, not as a burden. We in America celebrate Memorial Day weekend today, or tomorrow actually, but this weekend is our Memorial Day weekend. And I sort of have double duty because I'm going to be doing a baby dedication this morning, but also I realize that the dovetails also into the weekend that we celebrate on our calendar. And I want you to realize that America is in trouble for one reason, and I believe that. I do. My heart is firmly committed to the fact and the knowledge that we are kind of spiraling out of control in this country. We really are, morally and spiritually. And a large part of the reason for that is because more families will not pass the faith along. Somebody has said that there are no grandparents in the faith. It's always one generation from extinction. If we don't show our kids what it's like to live for God, they'll never figure it out on their own unless God intervenes in a mighty way. This is designed to use you and me as parents. So I will deal with both of those issues as we go to Deuteronomy. And on the heels, at the beginning of this passage is chapter 5, where we would find delineated for us the Ten Commandments. You know, the big ten? The Ten Commandments are there. And Moses is giving a second giving of this law, because Deutero means two, and Nonomy means law, second law. This is the second time he's going through this, and he's reminding them in chapter 5 that when God decided to speak to them through the midst of the fire and tell them things, that they begged him not to do it anymore. Don't talk to us like that anymore. I'll tell you what, we as a people, the nation of Israel, said to Moses, we'll let you talk to him and you come and tell us. This is too intense. This is too intimidating. We don't know what to do with that, so we're just going to let you. And so he does this. He goes back, he reiterates the law, and in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess." Now understand that you and I live in a generation where these words hit us with prickles and stings. We don't like rules, and we don't like commands, and we don't like statutes. We live in a generation where we don't want anybody to tell us what to do, where we've redefined the word freedom to mean I can do whatever I want. That's our country today. It's sad, but it's true. But the fact is that every good parent understands that there is a need for rules in the family. Do not talk back to your mother. It's a good rule. You will respect your mother. Guys, step up and stand between. Do not let those kids talk bad about your wife or to your wife. It's not acceptable. It's a rule. It's a good rule. It's for their benefit, for her benefit, for your benefit, for everybody. Everybody's going to get peace from that, you know. And so it is with God. God has put some rules out there on the table so we might understand what is right and what is wrong. So it's written somewhere. So somebody said it. He gave us 10 commandments as sort of an essence, and there's many ways in which he illustrates how these commandments work, but in essence, the big 10 are there, and we can go back and we can read them. And you have to realize that in that day, there was not really any law given. There was a law code of Hammurabi who was out there, and it was found, but really Israel became the first actual nation to let rule of law begin to lead and guide a nation in a more deliberate way. It was God who initiated it, and God who made it true. Now, look at these words in verse 1. It says commandments. It says statutes. It says judgments. Well, the word commandments is interesting. It's the word mitzvah, and you've heard of it, haven't you? Bar mitzvah. You've heard it among the Jewish community. This is the word mitzvah. Anytime you see the word commandment, understand mitzvah. You've maybe heard some people say bar mitzvah means son of the law. Well, the fact is it really is a son given a charge. There's a bat mitzvah for a daughter given a charge. The word for commandment really is a charge. God has given you a charge. And when I came into ministry, there was a guy I brought down from Liberty where I was going to school, and I really appreciated him, and I asked him to serve on my ordination committee, and he was to deliver the charge. Well, when God set up his kingdom, he actually gave a charge to the people of God, and the commandments really were a charge to them. You guys live according to this. You live in light of this, because this is a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. There's peace. There's harmony. The kids get a shelter over them. There's protection. It's a good thing, thou shalt not steal. I don't got to worry about you taking my spouse. It's a good thing. We all win. These are not burdensome. But because of our generation, the word commandments, the word idea of rules, it just goes against our nature. We don't want anybody to tell us, I do what I want to do. You see, the fact is, the devil has gotten a lot of ground. The momentum is going the other way. We are in a day where we call good evil and evil good. And it's out of control. And folks, you can't get the two faces back. You just can't. So as we begin to spiral forward, I want you to revisit this with me, because he says, now these are the commandments. And what he's doing, and he just said in verse 33 of chapter 5 that God had told him, you're going to give them commandments, you're going to give them judgments and so forth, back in the last couple verses of the last chapter. And here he says, now these are those commandments, and these are those statutes. Now the word statutes is interesting. We come across it, we're not even sure what it means. It's the statutes. What's the statutes? Well, just think statutes. Think of statues. Actually, the word literally has the idea of cutting in and engraving in stone. And what you are going to see in this passage is that God was saying, I'm going to give you some movements and some motions that you're going to do over and over and over and over again, so that everybody will have it ingrained in their core of their being, in your country, in your nation, and everybody who looks at your nation is going to see it, because it's going to go over and over and over again. And as I watch you go through the motions I'm going to give you, these statutes, you're going to be engraving in the psyche of humanity what, in fact, I have as my will for you as a people. You who were lost, I have a will for. It's a will of salvation. I'm going to show you how to do that. He gave them the whole sacrificial system. He gave them the Levitical system. He gave them the priests and the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant. He gave them all this cool stuff so that he might go through this over and over again. Every year around Passover, the rivers ran red in that country. You couldn't go to Jerusalem without seeing blood in the streams, because everybody killed the lamb at the same time and shed its blood. Things were going on continually in their history. God says, I'm giving you some commandments. I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you something that you're going to be a steward over. You, as my people, are going to have this, and I'm going to give you some statutes. And then he says judgments. Now, in that day, judgments wasn't related just to the judicial system. It was the entire scope of government. He says, I'm going to give you a government. A government. Theirs was a theocracy. It would eventually lead to a kingship or a kingdom situation where you had a king and his subjects. But he says, I want you to do this. And the word shape that actually means the exercise of the entire process of government. The world was lawless then. So this was kind of new. It was fresh. It was good. Think about it now. In your context, we're in the first five books of Moses. Moses is still living. Moses is speaking. Before that, the law hadn't been written anywhere. He's writing it. He's recording it. God's giving it to him. It's a new day. Now look at verse 2. The words "that" show up a lot here because he says, I'm giving you these three things in verse 1. First of all, that you might fear the Lord your God. You see, the concept of fear is something we don't like either. In fact, in our day, we like to bring it down to a lower level calling reverence. Reverence. We want to make it soft. The reason we like it softer is because we don't want God to be so much bigger than we are. But you know what God did? God spoke to them from fire, from a mountain where they trembled. He so overwhelmed them that the people with one voice said, don't talk to me anymore. And folks, listen. The Bible says, he who will come shall come, and he will not tarry. That it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And I don't really care if you ignore the fact that there's a hell. The Bible tells us there is one, and it tells us that all who do not trust Jesus will end up there one day. It just says that, okay? And I'm here to tell you today, God wants us to fear him with a good, healthy fear. And you know, there is good, healthy fear. There is a good, healthy fear to be had. I'm telling you, folks, we live in a day where we want to make everything just manageable for ourselves, so we recreate God, and we can't do that. God is to be feared. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, you don't know anything until you start that. You really don't know anything until you start realizing that God is a holy, righteous, absolutely perfect God who has everything under control. Not one thing is missing a skip or a step. He loves you with a perfect love, but he will judge with a perfect wrath. And that is why Jesus died. If it is not true what I just said, Jesus would not have had to die, but God with a perfect wrath poured out his wrath upon his son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What an awesome news. If we bring God down to a level where we can just say he's my pal or he's the big man upstairs or whatever, we're kind of minimizing the fact that he is the God with whom we have to do, he is the God to whom we must answer, and he is the God who will bring every idle word, every thought, every deed into account. We saw it on Wednesday night. Days with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And that's good news for the believer because it means that a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day means that God's looking for progress in the believer. In other words, he's not going to judge you according to one day. Aren't you glad? For the believer, he's not going to judge you over one day. Had a bad day last week? Guess what? God knows you're his child now. So he gives you a lot of wide berth. He gives you a lot of latitude. He really has taken care of everything. Grace over us. Grace under us. Grace around us. Grace in us. That's God. But for the sinner, a day is like 1,000 years. In other words, every minute detail of your behavior.